Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long in studio at 5:45. It'll be our Bet 365 triple option feature. And at 5:25, inside the draft, and we'll break down players that were either born in Louisiana, didn't go to LSU or Tulane, but is going to end up on the draft board. And all that's brought to you by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. When the lights go off, Craig's comes on. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, he covers the LSU Fighting Tigers for the Baton Rouge Advocate, Wilson Alexander. Wilson, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Appreciate it. And, man, the one thing, well, a couple things I took from the LSU spring game, because sometimes you got to take that with a grain of salt. Defensively, they sort of played like I thought they would. They would give up some big plays downfield. They got gashed in the running game at times. But the receiving core, and led by Kyron Lacy, and you can see, Wilson, he's playing with great confidence. Something I haven't seen in him maybe since that first year at University of Louisiana out in Lafayette and making big plays. And I saw him back. He was at Thibodaux High. He was a really good basketball player. But his confidence level catching the football, sometimes he would try to run before securing it, wasn't quite there. You see a guy that's making that leap. And I will never forget last year at this time, we had on Brian Kelly and I asked him, tell me one cat that has really jumped up. And he said, Brian Thomas Jr. And I think of watching Kyron. I don't know if he's made that big of a leap, but, man, he's been impressive.
He really has. You know, good to be with you, Mike. All last year, Kyron Lacy, we talked to him about this last week, he got to watch Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. And this wasn't necessarily a case of him, you know, a young guy, like looking up at the older guys. He's a contemporary of theirs. He's their peer because, you know, he's a senior now and he was starting alongside them. But he also got to see these two guys who were Biletnikoff semifinalists and Malik himself a finalist, two guys who are about to go in the first round, and just how they approached everything that they did. And that's really rubbed off on Kyron in a lot of ways. He learned, what does it take to practice and be a guy to get the best out of yourself from practice, to be consistent through practice and everything else that you do. And he's been able to apply that this year. He's also cut down on the drops that have kind of plagued him the first maybe year and a half or so at LSU. I don't think it was as much of a problem the second half of last season. But, you know, he says now that when he's always focused on all spring, it's just making sure he secures the football before he, you know, starts running and you know, not try to do too much. And now all of this kind of things together, and there's probably more to it too, is just led to him feel that confidence that you're saying. He looks and carries himself and believes in himself in a way that is very confident right now, believes that what he can do on the field, and is turning into a true dominant spring. I mean, he was the guy who Brian Kelly said set the bar for everyone else, and Kelly predicted he's going to have a breakout season. And you know, it's hard. You never want to make too much of a spring. In some ways, it can be very deceptive. But if there is one thing that feels tangible coming out of this spring, it is that Kyren is their top receiver, and that he's put himself at least in position and on pace to have a really solid season.
Between the ears, between the ears, Wilson. That's the biggest jump in him. I see. Playing with confidence, but is between the years. He's got it now, and he's kind of got that feel of a guy that always a tremendous athlete and always had that size and his ability to get up and make a play with arms and hands there. Now he's pieced it all together. If you looked at this entire roster, the one guy coming out of this camp, you'd have said, man, has he made a jump? Ricky Collins at quarterback. Wilson, I didn't hear anybody talk about Collins, okay, before the spring. Everybody, if it was a backup, it was going to be Swan. He's got experience, and I get that. But everybody that has been around and even a couple coaches kind of pointed toward Ricky and said, wow, he's made great growth from last year to today.
We saw a quarterback last year in Ricky Collins. You know, he enrolled early and a guy who was clearly an early enrollee and a freshman, even at times of preseason camp and in the bowl practices here and there, where you could tell that, you know, he needed to continue to develop. And it looks like that's coming along. You know, you would hope for this sort of progression from year one to year two. You know, there's still a lot of work that he needs to do as a passer, but he's got athleticism. He can run and really make plays when things break down. But we saw there in the spring game that he was still rather inconsistent. I don't have the numbers exactly in front of me, but even when he got on the first team offense, and it was kind of the only thing that changed, the offense kind of began to sputter. So he's got to keep getting better. But if LSU were to have something happen to Garrett Nussmeier, you know, he's certainly going to be within that decision. It's not just a foregone conclusion that it would be A.J. Swan as the backup quarterback. And that was one of the big competitions that played out this spring was Swan or Collins. And they just kind of went back and forth the whole way. You know, Swan is going to have the rest of the offseason and preseason camp to try to get more comfortable in this offense. Maybe then he does take over as the number two. But Ricky has put himself in position to maybe be in that spot and be the top backup on this team. If he continues to grow as a passer and continue to develop playing from the pocket, then, you know, we'll kind of see if he's able to take over that spot and maybe put himself in position to maybe one day be, you know, the starter whenever Garrett leaves. You know, there's a ways to go there, but he has certainly made strides in the right direction.
And the fact that he can move, he's improvisational. He's got some movement skills with his feet and be able to buy time to throw downfield and also run with it that Swan doesn't have. He doesn't have that skill set, to be honest with you, and nothing against him, but that's not his strength. But Ricky can run. He can flat out run.
Oh, he definitely can. We saw it for a split second there in the spring game where a play broke down and he was able to go and pick up, I think, a first down with his legs. You know, he's got a lot of that in him for sure, and that could be a real asset for him. It just can't be the only thing that he, you know, that he's able to do. But, you know, we saw a quarterback here last year who could run quite a bit, and they're probably a little bit different styles of runners maybe. We haven't gotten to see a ton of Ricky in that regard here in college. But it's something that is definitely a strength in his game that he can use when plays break down or when he wants to create. He's got that ability for sure.
As advertised, first team offensive line took a good look, and they didn't get too close to Garrett. I mean, and he had a lot of time to throw the football downfield, and that's not surprising. With, you know, we know the ailments on LSU's defensive line, especially in the interior. But I keep a close eye on DJ Chester, and I thought he looked really good. He gives Brian what he's wanted at that center position. That's a big hoss, a big man playing center. Charles Turner was kind of pumped up a little bit. I don't think it was his natural weight to if he got into the 290s. But DJ Chester, he ain't going to see 290. He's well over 300 pounds, and he's a good-looking athlete.
yeah, this is a guy who's 6'6", like 315 or so, and he is physical. He's been – it looks just like an absolutely seamless transition for him into the starting lineup at this point. Didn't see any issues with his snaps on Saturday, which is another great thing. That doesn't seem like it's really been much of a problem. There was one scrimmage earlier this spring where there was a bad snap, but like it was like happened like once kind of thing, you know. And it's not only just that physically, you know, he has got what it looks like what it takes to play, you know, right away here as a starter, but also to, you know, the communication skills. I mean, this is a guy who is stepping in as, I guess, you know, is going to be a second year player alongside four guys who have started in the SEC now for multiple seasons. You know, Will Campbell and Emory Jones on as the bookend tackles who are going to be going to the third straight year starting in the SEC. And DJ Chesh has got to tell them what to do at times, and he doesn't seem to shy away from that. That could be an intimidating position for somebody, but, you know, when you got so many more experienced guys around you. But the coach has been really impressed with his ability to communicate and with his skills in that regard and kind of getting everything set up offensively that he has to do as the center, making all those calls, getting guys in the right direction, and then post-snap, you know, being physical, like you said, and getting up to the second level. And he is this offensive line – as we know, it's probably going to be good because it's got four returning starters. But DJ Chester, as that fifth guy now, seems like he can continue to make this offensive line even better as it goes into this season and will be far from something that holds them back is what it looks like at this point. As a unit, that five looks incredibly talented.
Wilson, looking at, you know, Coach Kelly's comments, and this is looking ahead a little bit because the transfer portal window does open tomorrow. It closes. It's a two-week window. It closes on April 30th. The post-spring portal. And what Coach Kelly was saying about the roster, I think it was a question that you had actually asked him during that presser about, like, what is he going to look at there? And he was very brief with the answer, but I think that it's something that we all expected. They are only looking at one position, and it's defensive tackle. I mean, what is your evaluation of the defensive line throughout spring football? And then also, do you have any guys in mind that you can probably keep an eye on for LSU potentially adding at the defensive tackle?
Well, it was interesting to hear that comment simply because it was so definitive in that they weren't. He felt like they don't need to add anywhere else, and that it's just a defensive tackle. You know, LSU's got a situation, I guess you could say, at running back at the moment. There was some questions just more so externally about what, do they need to add one? Were they done adding in the secondary? Just because we know that's a group that's in certainly transition, I guess you could say, and. So, you know, the defense, but he was, you know, very firm in that he only thinks they need to add a defensive tackle. And it's clear that they need to add a defensive tackle. Ever since Mason Smith and Mekhi Wingo left early, that's been a position where, you know, the LSU counted on retention. That did not happen. And so now they really do have to go hit the portal and hit it hard here. They're going to be looking up and down. Now, we've already added Gio Paez from Wisconsin. I would expect them to add probably at least two more defensive tackles here in the spring portal window. It's hard to say at this moment, you know, definitively who are some potential targets because, you know, guys who may be linked to LSU actually have to go and hit the portal first.
Right.
So that'll become more apparent once players, you know, actually enter the portal. But, you know, they just over this past weekend, they had Philip Belidi from Indiana. I apologize if I'm saying his name correctly or not. You know, who's a defensive line transfer. A lot of top teams are kind of going after him right now. So that's one at this immediate moment where, you know, they're certainly looking at him. One thing to note about the portal, LSU is over the 85-man limit. I think it's 87, maybe it's 88. Either way, there's going to have to be some guys who leave. There's going to be some attrition that naturally happens probably anyway. But LSU will have to get down, you know, closer to probably 82 or 83 and then be able to add transfers. There'll be guys who leave as guys come and all that sort of thing. So just for people to know that, it won't be surprising if there are a few guys from this team who hit the portal.
One of the players that stuck out and got a bit of a pass rush is Relaford. And, you know, you saw, even if he didn't get a pass rush, he got penetration. And in watching him, I like his technique work and his ability to use his arms and hands to get off of a much bigger player. And I like to see that from a young guy. That he's just not using his speed or his power. He's using technique work, and I thought he looked pretty good in the spring game.
He looked great. He, out of all the folks who maybe stood out, like he was one of the big spring standouts. You know, there was a lot of buzz about him coming into the spring as an early enrollee. Like, people love to talk about the young guys who could maybe play early, and, you know, he and, like, maybe Deshaun McBride and A couple others were kind of like PJ Woodland. You know, you sort of looked at maybe being, you know, because of a combination of opportunity and talent, maybe they could maybe make some noise here early. And it didn't, it kind of took until the spring game for that to happen with Relaford, because defensive end LSU has got some depth there and some talent ahead of him. But then you saw it there in the spring, why this staff is so high on his potential. You know, he had, I think it was the final stats, and now, of course, this is all kind of funky because they're like just tagging off quarterbacks, but 2 sacks, 3.5 tackles for loss, a couple of hurries. Like, he was really disruptive off the edge. It seemed really just fast coming around the corner. Now, there was, of course, you know, he's going up against sort of that backup offensive line. In LSU, when we talk about the offensive line, the frontline starters being great, they got to continue to build depth and experience and develop those guys who are on the backup group. Now, that being said, you know, he did exactly what he needs to do against them. And so I think the main thing now is for LSU to see in preseason camp, can he do that and really hold his own against the Will Campbells and the Emory Joneses? Yeah. He didn't really get a whole lot of those opportunities here in the spring. He was mostly with the backups, I think pretty much all the time with the backups. Now, because he played like that, probably gives him a chance to maybe at least get a look in preseason camp to see if he can do a little bit more at this point in his career.
Wilson, the media also spoke to both the new OC in D.C. with Joe Sloan and then obviously Blake Baker, and we had praised the moves when they were made, but what are your general kind of thoughts on them now that you've spoken with them and kind of seen them progress through spring football?
One thing with Blake, Wilson, you're going to find out quick. He don't tell you nothing, or he tells you a lot of nothing. Blake keeps a lot of that in his pocket,
yeah.
And he's like a lot of coaches. Man, I ain't telling you nothing. And I do think you're going to see LSU blitz a lot more than you've seen it over the last couple years with Blake Baker.
They are going to blitz more. And something that became clear, I think, during this preseason from talking to people, you know, talking to players and sort of just watching this defense and watching Blake, is that this is going to, you know, everything that we came in saying about how his philosophy is aggression. I think that's going to show itself. Is it going to mean that this defense is going to be infinitely better right away? Like, no, you got to see it play out. But I do think, like you said, they're going to blitz more. Just from a sort of top-down perspective, like they're philosophically going to try to do things schematically that allow for that to happen. You know, whether you know, tackles for loss and sacks, and because all to say, like, you know, I was at the LSU's coaches clinic a couple weeks ago. And Blake was talking to the coaches there and giving his presentation, going through, you know, all the stuff with run game. And by the end, he said one line that stuck out to me: the number one goal is havoc. Like, that is what they want to create with this defense. And you hear that from a lot of defensive coaches, but you know, Blake's former players have spoken to that. They want to really let those guys get upfield, get vertical, and sometimes freestyle when it accounts for it. Just, you know, create havoc in the backfield, put pressure on quarterbacks. 25% of plays they want to be result in some kind of like negative play, whether it's sack, turnover, tackle for loss, pass breakup, all those things. It's the havoc rate, which is, you know, for people who don't know, is kind of what that all means. And 25% of plays they want to be kind of like a negative play. And so, you know, that's what stood out to him. Joe, it's continuity with Sloan, but he's really sharp. I mean, people who maybe haven't gotten to see a lot of Joe because he was the quarterback's coach the last few years, that was always clear. But you saw it, maybe even a glimpse of it in the press conference he gave and the work that he did as the OC so far this spring. He's sharp. He's a guy who looks like he might be a head coach someday. And, you know, LSU seems like it's in pretty good hands offensively although there was certainly change on the offensive side. There's a lot of guys who came back who had already been within the offense. And so it's hoping to kind of keep things rolling with Sloan there as the OC.
Wilson, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it. And the one thing is, you never get an off season.
Oh, definitely not. Football never ends. What you talking about?
Thanks, Wilson. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, y'all. Have a good one.
All righty. Wilson. Wilson Alexander covers the LSU Tiger football team for the Advocate Times-Picayune. When we come back, it'll be Inside NFL Draft. Our segment is brought to you by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. When the lights go off, Craig's comes on. We'll be talking about some homegrown players here in the state of Louisiana who didn't play at LSU or Tulane that'll end up getting pretty highly selected in the draft just 10 days away. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long in studio, and it's time for the Inside the Draft, which is brought to you by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. When the lights go off, Craig's comes on. And I can say that happened for a fact for me because I had my lights go off and Craig's generator came on for me last week. So Craig's does a great job. Charlie, we got three players, didn't go to LSU or Tulane, but will end up going real high in this NFL draft.
Yeah, three Louisiana natives. You know, we're going to start with a guy that I think will probably be the first of these three off the board. Maybe you can make an argument for another guy, but we'll start with Florida State wide receiver Keon Coleman, Mike. Yeah. A big body receiver from Opelousas who might sneak in at the back end of the first round. If not, he's going to be a very early second round pick.
Yeah, why he might not go in round one would be, okay, when you get to the backside, a lot of that is teams specific need-wise. And teams looking to trade up for a specific player also. So in a very thickly group of wide receivers, he may slip into the early part of round two, but he's a big target wide out, great contested catch guy. He still is a little bit of a football puppy, learning how to run routes. He had told me, because he came to a couple of our camps, that his first love was basketball, always was. And then he figured out they had a lot of guys his size playing basketball, but playing football was a different story. And so he starts out at Michigan State. He was not recruited to LSU. He was sort of the B guy, or one of the B guys for him. He goes to Michigan State, makes a big impact there, and then last year decides to transfer. LSU wasn't in on him right away. They came in late, but he decides to go to Florida State. And what you saw was a big target receiver, goes over the middle, arms and hands all around him, and he comes up with the catch. And he's no track sprinter, but, man, he plays fast with a helmet and pads on. And if you look at that gauntlet drill that they do where they run him down the seam and they throw him the football, he tested out the fastest of all the receivers at the combine doing it.
I think that Keon Coleman's situation is going to be huge for him, where he lands, what landing spot he ends up in, because – I think, Mike, you called him a football puppy, but just the size and capabilities, like, you see the ability on tape. Consistency was a little bit of an issue with him at Florida State just this past year, But you know what he can do, and you know what he can provide any team. It's just a matter of getting him in the right situation with the right offensive coordinator, the right quarterback, and that guy can shine instantly, in my opinion.
One thing he's got with him, he's got Elite, so to speak, confidence in himself.
Man, oh, yeah.
He's got great confidence in himself. He that part about his game, he's elite with, because he really thinks anything that goes up in the air around him, he's coming down with, and he's got a pair of mitts on him that goes up and goes over the top of a defensive back to make a catch. And also, too, with people around him coming up with that, man, that's critical in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I was just about to say, when you have that size and that, you know, hand capabilities, it's hard not to be confident in yourself. Moving on, Mike, to the second guy on this list, who I think we both agree is probably the best, if not top two, linebacker in this class. And that's the consensus All-American first team All-SEC performer for Texas A&M last year, Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker from Covington, Mike.
Man, I saw him at Covington, and then, man, his jump from 2022 to 2023, I told this to Herb Tyler, I think he was the most improved player in the SEC last year. Certainly he's the most improved player on the defensive side of the football. He's smart. He's instinctive. He rarely takes a false step, and he's a thumper. Man, he hits you, and he puts you down with some force. He's gotten much better in the coverage part of the game. Now, he's in a battle here for the number one spot with Junior Colson from Michigan. I think if Peyton Wilson from North Carolina State didn't have all the injuries, he might be the number one guy here. But I think the injuries might scare off some teams. But Cooper played terrific last year for the Aggies. And he's compact build, but he can run. And he doesn't have a lot of wasted motion in his ability to run the field east and west. Did a great job last year for Texas A&M.
Undoubtedly so. He's a game wrecker.
And I think he's a second-round pick.
I think so, too. But it's also because you're looking at the linebacker position and how it's valued in today's NFL. It is not.
You know what's changed, Charlie, since I first started doing this? Size of the linebackers.
Yeah, they used to be dumpers.
6'3", 6'4", 245.
But Edgerrin Cooper's kind of almost that size. Like, he's 6'3", 230. He's not like necessarily like the 250 dumper or anything like that.
But
he's got speed. And, I mean, this, once again, Edgerrin Cooper, game wrecker at the linebacker position. It's just that, you know, cover corners and edge rushers are obviously more valued in the modern-day NFL, so he's going to fall into the second round.
And, two, is you got to cover.
Yeah.
Because you're coming off the field if you're not. Like, Junior Colson is a little bit smaller. Man, you see Peyton Wilson. He's tall, but he's a thin drink of water. I mean, he is really thin for his size. So the linebacker body-wise type has changed throughout the years. Cooper's got good size, but it's his build because he's compact with that 230 pounds. He really is. And, man, he can run. He covers a lot of ground and fast.
And then wrapping things up, the final player we're going to talk about here, Mike, one of my Louisiana Raging Cajun boys, he went to Chalmette, offensive tackle Nathan Thomas.
He was a lightly to medium range recruit coming out of Chalmette. He's a big size lineman. He's grown into that body pretty good. And he has started at left tackle for the Raging Cajuns the last two seasons and done a really good job. Now, I'd like to see him become more of a power player, but what he's really good at is his ability to put his hands and sort of maneuver those guys around up front. He's got good hand placement skills. He's gotten much better with his body balance and control in the lower body. As a pass protector, sometimes he gets a little bit off balance, but I think that's the body balance part. I think he ends up going early to mid fourth round.
Wow.
Even despite the fact he didn't get to play in the bowl game because he had the knee surgery, but he's a big left tackle that, okay, if it doesn't work out at left tackle, I know he can play left guard. But he's a big body lineman, and look at what happened to those last two Raging Cajun guards that got kicked into the NFL. They got paid this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the size, 6'5", 330.
He's a big man.
Yeah, he is a big dude. But you're looking at, you know, the potential, as you mentioned, Robert Hunt and Kevin Dotson, those two guys, for former Cajuns that got paid with their respective teams, the Rams, and then, well, actually – Robert Hunt got paid by the Panthers. He moved from Miami to Carolina in the offseason. Both of them got really nice paydays, both interior offensive linemen from Louisiana. So, I mean, maybe that even provides a little bit of a boost to someone like Nathan Thomas that, you know, it's almost been like kind of a mini offensive line factory from the Group of Five schools.
And I'll give your boy Napier a lot of credit.
Oh, yeah.
He could recruit offensive linemen. Man, he did a really good job bringing those guys
they
in.
They can run the football.
And that was the hallmark, which you said, I was going to say it. Their ability to control the line of scrimmage offensively. That's it for our Inside the Draft segment. It's brought to you by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. When the lights go off, Craig's comes on. We come back, it'll be our Bet 365 triple option feature with myself, Steve Geller, and Charlie Long right after this break.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettey along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long, and it's our Bet 365 triple option feature where we give our top takes on the top stories in sports. Steve, you first.
Well, the NFL draft we know is rapidly approaching, 10 days away from us currently, but tonight, guys, the WNBA draft, and yeah, actually interested to see how things shake out in it. Obviously, we know Caitlin Clark expected to be number one overall pick going to the Indiana Fever. After that, curious to see where our Angel Reese ends up from LSU. I'm looking at a mock draft that's
maybe Chicago?
Yeah, mock draft on ESPN has her going seventh to the Chicago Sky, who actually traded up into that spot. They already have a pick at number three in this draft, sorry, and they're expected to select Camila Cardoso from South Carolina. So it'll be very interesting, obviously, if Chicago ends up getting to bear Cardoso up with Angel Reese. Watch out for them for sure.
Man, they like the Vikings with all these picks here.
Yeah, I'm next, jealous. Charlie. Yeah, guys, so if you're looking at this past weekend sweep at Tennessee for LSU baseball, if you would have told me the runs that Tennessee scored 6, 3, and 8, I'd feel pretty decent that LSU won at least one of those games, if not won the series outright. But the hitting just wasn't up to par. I mean, it is what it is. You look at that game one, they stranded the bases loaded twice in that game in a 3-run loss. That was huge. In game two, you got a great pitching performance from Luke Holman. You can't understate how awesome he was. Even Griffin Herring out of the bullpen was really solid for you, but you only played one run. And then game three, you lose 8-4. The bullpen kind of implodes, but the offense still, once again, didn't provide enough. You only scored 8 total runs on the weekend against a Tennessee staff that, yes, on paper was solid, but over the course of the season, they've been kind of okay at best, and they just didn't show up. And I've been following this kind of trend about the LSU's hitting with runners in scoring position. Entering this weekend in conference play, they were 20 of 101 in those first 4 weekends, which is good for 198 batting average, just below the Mendoza line. In game one, they were 2 of 9 with runners in scoring position. It gets worse, 1 of 10 in game two. That one hit, by the way, ended up not even scoring a run in that game. And then that game three, 1 of 4. So overall on the weekend, 4 of 23, hitting 173. That's how you only score 8 runs on a weekend series, guys. And then now the updated kind of stat, 24 of 124 hitting in conference play with runners in scoring position. You want to know how you get to 3-12 in conference play? That's how.
Okay, I don't know what's more disappointing. The Pelicans playing at home or when LSU got people on base trying to bring them in. I mean, good gracious, it's really awful. But congratulations to Scottie Scheffler yesterday winning the Masters. And got a little pressure on you, your first child's right along the way. But, man, he was ice at the end. But also, too, congratulations to Ted Scott from Lafayette, Louisiana. And he has now been a caddy for 4 Masters winners. 4. The record there is five. Pappy Stokes has five, and Willie Peterson has five. But Ted Scott from Lafayette, Louisiana, has four. Great performance, too, by Scottie Scheffler to finish it off at the Masters. And, man, something to watch at the end. There is something special about it, about watching the Masters. We'll be back to finish it off here on hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. Let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to George and Kenner. George in the huddle with Mike, Steve, Charlie.
Well, hey, Mike, Steve, and Charlie. Listen, I wanted to get your evaluation of Kellen Mond. I was impressed with what I saw of him, the little bit I saw at Texas A&M, his mobility, in and out of the pocket, running, et cetera, accuracy. Mike, I really wanted to get your evaluation of his potential.
Okay, I agree with you on the running, extending plays, being able to throw off the run. He's not accurate. Okay, I can't teach that. No one else can. That part of the game – he's just not good at it, and he's wildly erratic. Where you watch a game where he throws the ball well, and in other games he's all over the board. That's the reason why he was unemployed, because he in a quarterback-starved NFL, he's just wildly erratic throwing the football. I'm just telling you. And even in practice, I had people tell me at A&M, exact same thing I had saw on the field, he's like that in practice. You can get a little better, but you're never going to be good at it. And in this league, if you're not accurate, you're unemployed. And that's what happened with Kellen, despite the fact he was a second-round pick of the Vikings. So that's
– I hear. How do you explain the 9,000 at A&M, Mike?
Man, he put up some yardage. They had a very explosive offense. Man, he was playing a long time. It's almost like he was a six-year veteran at A&M. But he had some playmakers on that side of the football. He really did. And but when you watch him, I'm telling you, George, the erratic part of the game is there with him. And I don't think you get much better. It is what it is. But in the NFL, what did he do? When the Vikings had an open spot for him, what did he do there?
I mean, that's the connection, though, Mike. When you sign him, the 2021 draft, that Clint Kubiak goes out and takes Kellen Mond with a premier draft pick, the 66th overall pick in 2021. Like, he had some kind of faith in the guy. And obviously, as George had mentioned, the numbers spoke for themselves about his career at Texas A&M. It didn't really work out. He's kind of jumped from spot to spot in the NFL. But there's still the connection from, you know, when Kubiak was the OC of Minnesota, that you have, you know, you have a guy that knows your offense, who knows what you want to do.
And, Charlie, the other thing, too, is you're going to learn along the way. You're an early-round pick, you get more chances.
Oh, easily.
And especially at that position, you're going to get a lot of chances with Kellen Mond. But look how many quarterbacks went down last year. And did the phone call ring?
No.
Did the phone ring for him? Okay, so you can do all that in high school and college. This is the NFL. That's a totally different world. And, again, what I saw at A&M – I saw in the NFL, wildly erratic throwing from the pocket. And that's why he was unemployed. Now, you'll get another shot and probably get another shot somewhere else after this. But his accuracy skills, he's way off. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you.
Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.